I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
This is Wright Brennan with the Lost in the Midlands podcast, brought to you by C. Wright Roofing. And I'm fired up today because I have here with me Mr. Paul Erickson, owner of Full Cycle Wireless, former professional athlete, entrepreneur, even has dabbled in politics. This guy is awesome. He's a friend. And Paul, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Wright.
Absolutely, absolutely. You've got quite a journey. You have dabbled in so many different things. And I want to rewind a little bit back to the early days. So people know where you're from, your roots. Are you a local to the Chapin area, Lexington, Columbia?
I probably am now. I mean, you know, I've been here since 1985, so okay. I guess that puts me about, what, 40 years
40
almost?
40 years. You're local.
Yeah. So I'm a local yokel, yeah.
Fantastic. Where'd you go to high school?
Yeah, I split my high school. Some of it was up in New England and Connecticut, and then my senior year was down in Daytona Beach, Florida, at Seabreeze High School down there on the beach.
Okay.
And, that was quite an experience. On the beach high school.
That would be awesome.
It was.
I don't know if you can beat that, actually.
At first, it seemed like a disaster because I was a senior in high school, and my father and my dad moved the family down there, and I was an athlete, and I was like, I was really mad. But then I went to the beach, and it changed everything for me.
You get down
my
there.
My whole
like,
attitude.
Oh, maybe this isn't so bad. Right. Maybe there's some perks to this.
There were definitely perks.
And so when you were in high school, you were playing baseball.
That was your thing.
When was that calling? Did you just come up as a youngin? Or?
Yeah, just as a young kid, fell in love with the game. And I was a Red Sox fan growing up there in Connecticut in New England. And, I was just enamored with it. Loved them, knew all the players back in the 70s. Fell asleep every night, listened to the transistor radio, listening to games. I probably listened to, thousands of games. I was probably pitching and thousands of scenarios in my mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just loved it since I was a kid.
Yeah. When you started playing, you were how old?
Probably about six or seven years old. Throwing the ball.
And I guess playing was just as exciting as watching your team.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was the big thing. I wanted to be like them.
You wanted to be like them.
And I remember the day. I think I was like 6 years old. I was visiting my aunt, or my mom was, and we were down in East Haven, Connecticut, and I had a wiffle ball or a plastic ball. I was bored outside. I just started throwing the ball over the house. And I'd go to the backyard, get it, throw it back over the big high house, too. And I just thought it was great. And then that was it.
That was it.
It got me. The throwing thing got me.
Were your parents like, oh, he's got an arm on him?
I don't think they knew at that point,
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until I started, playing that I started hitting kids, not on purpose. I was a left-handed pitcher, but I was throwing the ball. I probably walk as many guys as I struck out. I didn't know where it was going. I was throwing over the backstop sometimes.
But throwing it fast.
But yes, no doubt. Everything had to be full speed.
That's right. Fastballs, every pitch. Cool. Okay. So now you're down in Florida. You're loving life, playing ball. And what are you thinking? What's my next move?
It was interesting because I really started off really strong, throwing the low 90s, people watching me. Then I sustained a slight recurrence of a shoulder injury. I suffered when I was, I think, 14.
Yeah.
It really just a big question mark after that. Had surgery in August of my senior year. Had a baseball scholarship to go to Flagler College in St. Augustine, Florida.
Wow.
I was kind of just a surprise. Nobody knew me, and all of a sudden I showed up, and this kid from Connecticut is down here playing, throwing, And so, I had the surgery, and it took me a while to get back, but it worked out.
So after the surgery, do you feel like you recovered? I mean,
Yeah, never 100%. You know, back then they didn't have arthroscopic surgery, so I had it in like 1980.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I got what they call a zipper on my left shoulder here. They went in, took out some material and some calcium, and did some repairs. And I was never back to 93, 94. I was more of a, you know, high 80s, 88, 89, 87 fastball guy.
Yeah.
But I learned how to pitch.
And you weren't going to quit. You were like, this didn't stop me from playing ball.
It didn't stop me. And I really kept going. And I was glad that I did. There were times that I wanted to quit. Any guy that's been, you know, a pro athlete or a guy that's played college baseball that's pitched.
Yeah.
And he's gone through the injury and then the rehab. And there's a lot of times during that rehab, you're really wondering whether you're going to do it or not. Or it's up and down.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet. My goodness.
It was good, though.
Sounds like a roller coaster. So when you got to college, what was that experience like playing ball? The competition must have been.
Yeah, it took me about 2 years to finally, you know, kind of settle in and get back to normal or close to it where I could compete, you know. So, but it took me a little while. And, yeah, it was great. Really enjoyed it, particularly my last year. So it was just a blast all the way to the Montreal Expos asking me to come and throw for him.
Sweet.
You know, sign in with them. But that's a pretty cool story.
Let's hear it, man.
All right. So here I am, Flagler College, left-handed pitcher, senior. I'm 8-1. I'm feeling good about myself.
Yeah.
Season's almost over. Getting ready to go to regionals. And so my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, Kathy, we go up to Jacksonville, Florida, 45 minutes north of St. Augustine, to go watch a baseball game, the Expos of Montreal. They had a double-A team there. So we went and I sat behind home plate.
Yeah.
And I watched the game, and it just so happened that the guys on the mound for the Expos were having a rough time. They kept bringing guys up, you know, that they kept on bringing pitchers out there, and they were getting hit and having problems. And I looked at Kathy, and I go, you know, I'm better than all these guys. And, you know, she's my girl, so she looked at me, and she goes, well, why don't you go tell them? And I was like, oh. That's not a bad idea, but man, I didn't even think about that.
So might as well.
I got up out of my seat. I walked up underneath the tunnel of the stadium, went around the stadium, and I really didn't know who I was going to run into. But I was supposed to tell somebody.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get back to my you know future wife
and say I couldn't find anybody.
Oh, or I didn't have the guts to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
So I knocked on a door because I heard people in behind the door, and it had a nameplate on it. It said general manager.
Mm.
I walked in. There was a couple of guys in suits sitting at the on either side of a desk, and there was a guy in the middle who was the general manager. I just introduced myself.
My gosh. And you introduced yourself, and that segued into an opportunity?
It did. I walked right in, and I said, I told him who I was. He said, what can I do for you, son? And I said, yeah, like he thought I was lost. But I was a big kid. You know, I was 6'3", 6'4", 200 pounds. I walked in, and I said, hey, I'm Paul Erickson. I'm pitching, you know, an hour south of here. I'm 8-1. I'm a left-handed pitcher, and I'm better than anybody you put out here.
It's beautiful.
And then he scrambled for his pencil. He was like looking for his pencil on his desk. He found it. And what's your name again? And he wrote it down. Bup, bup, bup. And he said, thank you. You know, and these guys in the suits, I know they're kind of going like this.
Yeah.
So I left and you know, went back, finished out the season. Season ends. And I got a call from my coach, and he says, hey, Montreal Expos want to see you up in Jacksonville. They want you to come up and throw. They're going to have their big league pitching coach, Larry Benarth, there.
Yeah.
And they want to see you. And I was like, wow, that's pretty wild.
That is wild.
And I went up, and I threw for him.
And then
I got a call like a week or two later and said, hey, we want to sign you.
This is the guy.
And then that was it. I played with them for a year.
Yeah.
Yep. And then followed that up with another year in Miami.
2 years professional ball.
Yeah, yeah, it was a dream come true, especially after shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And I also had detached retina surgery just before the shoulder surgery, about a year before, making me almost legally blind in my left eye. But I still did, you know, it was awesome. It was a dream come true.
Yeah, that's really cool. Man, you know, not many people make it to that round of sports. Usually it's after high school, and then, you know, some people get to college, and then usually the people who go any further than that is a very small pool of people. So
true.
That is fantastic. All right, so 2 years in, then you're like, I guess at that point you're like, well, I got to figure something else out or keep doing this. And you were in a crossroads.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, I got to the level where I was like, I might be as high as I'm going to go here because these guys can see my pitch. They can see stuff that other guys can't, and I'm not fooling them like I was, you know?
Reached a new level of competition. You're like, we're here.
and I had some success, you know, yeah. But you got to be really consistent.
Right.
And I did well, but, you know, I knew that I probably needed to move on after that second year and go, you know, figure something out. So,
man, you're a realist, too. You're a dreamer and a realist.
That was tough.
That was a tough one, eh?
Yeah.
Well, so what were your thinking options would be at that point?
You know, I hadn't fully, completely dumped the baseball idea. I was like, yeah. I could come back with another, you know, run at it and try to sign with another team. But, you know, I was close to double A, yeah. High A, and you know, my numbers weren't what they needed to be to go on to the next level.
Right.
Even though I was left-handed, but, you know, that's just I just thought, hey, I got to go do something. And then I had an opportunity up here in Columbia to go to work. And for a company. So I took it.
And you took it.
Plus, I was young and I needed to get out of the house, you know?
Man, 1985, you say?
So that was about 85 when I came up here in August, yeah.
What was that job?
So I worked for a company called Fluorocarbon Components Division in Columbia, down off the industrial park, and they manufactured nuclear industry, very high-tech metal O-ring seals that seal the reactor vessels on every commercial power plant. So you got the head of the reactor and you got the base of the reactor, and it was a main gasket, basically. They built those, and they built all kinds of components, static and what we call dynamic gaskets and sealing solutions for fluid, air, gas, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Made some other components. So yeah, I really liked it. It was a neat change, and I always kind of like technical stuff.
It sounds highly technical. It was a lot of fun. To like the apex of technical manufacturing.
It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Okay. So how long did you spend doing that?
I after a couple of years on the sales engineering side, yeah. and helping engineers, you know, spec in solutions for their applications. You know, they had an opportunity in the nuclear side of their business, and they kind of tapped me for it. And they said, hey, we need a guy to direct our quality assurance program. I was 27. They said, you know, they were audited almost two or three times a month by the power companies all over the country, as well as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And I think they just needed to shore up some things in their quality program, because if you don't have it together, you're not shipping any product. And those are very expensive components. So, I mean, 22 feet in diameter metal O-ring seals made out of nickel chromium iron alloy, half inch diameter, heat treated material that has spring back capabilities and all, just silver plated, 6,000 to 8,000. I mean, highly, very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did that, jumped on the quality program for them, got it straightened out, and did that for a couple of years. And until really the guy that I really love, my boss, they moved him to another plant in Virginia. And I was like, you know, I think I've got a, I don't think I can work for the new guy. The new guy.
The next crossroads.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was it.
That was it. So what was the next step then?
So the next step, I didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I just decided.
Were you married at this time, by the way?
I was.
Okay.
I was married. It was 1991-ish, 92.
Yeah.
We had a little boy, and Kathy and I had been married now for probably about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just decided that I was going to go figure it out, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't have any money.
It's the best place to be sometimes. So what was it then? Yellow Pages?
Yeah, so I played around in the real estate realm for a little while.
Okay, cool.
I bought some houses and did a couple flips and rehabs and
yeah.
Did a little real estate sales, but that wasn't for me, you know, driving around in a car and that kind of thing. I landed in the mortgage business in 1992, I think it was. Yeah, 92.
Yeah.
And that was me. More numbers, more technical. More because I was used to nuclear specifications, writing procedures, all the documentation. So that was right up my alley.
You make it sound like there's overlap here.
There was.
I don't know, man.
Well, I try to connect the dots, you know.
I mean, just thinking about professional baseball, nuclear facility, now we're doing mortgages. Fantastic. And you seem to love all of it. So
I really enjoyed it, man. I love the mortgage business. I just love the whole numbers thing. And then had a great opportunity where I talked a mortgage company that I was working for into taking on a new product back in 1995. And finally, the owner said, okay, I'll do it. Mortgage rates on the first mortgage side, it's kind of skyrocketed to 8-9%.
Oh, wow.
Business was slowing down. And there was a second mortgage product that was out there that nobody was doing. I talked him into it. And I think he had maybe 6-7 branches throughout the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And I went and hired everybody, trained everybody. We took it on. And then the thing just took off. And they ended up basically going public with the company as a result of it.
Wow.
Dan Marino was their spokesperson. Cool. Here, the national, you know, on the national level, the former quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And they had a Learjet here in Columbia. They go down to Dallas on a regular basis with the partner that was down there that was basically funding the loans. And so I did that for a couple of years. That was a lot of fun.
That seems like if there's any exciting job in the mortgage industry, that's the one.
It was a blast.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're a few years into that. I love your story,
okay,
man.
Okay, all right. We'll continue.
So you're a few years into that. And yeah. I know you keep meeting these crossroads and,
yes.
and new
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Directions.
So I met a crossroad.
Okay.
And the promise was, and I was naive and I was in my 30s and I didn't get anything in writing, but I was promised if I made it happen that they were going to really take care of me. But once it went public, they came to me and said, yeah, you know what? We really can't do anything for you, but we're just going to make you the Columbia guy. But meanwhile, I was running the whole thing.
The whole
and I was like, what do you mean? And that was it. And so they weren't going to do anything. So
yeah.
I made a lot of people a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money.
It sounds like
But, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And from there, that was a crossroad. So I had to make a decision. Am I staying or am I going?
Yeah. And so what new opportunities, were on the horizon? Was it another mortgage opportunity?
It was. I had a fellow that had been watching me for a while that was a little bit older than me, probably about 10, 15 years older. And he had a couple of folks that were interested in doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So they were thinking, hey, we can get this guy to sort of,
pull in the ringer.
Do something that he's already done. And so we did it. And I said, the only condition is I got to become an owner.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, let's see how you do after a year.
Yeah.
So a year went by, and we're doing well. And they just decided that I wasn't their guy, which was fine.
Yeah.
So.
And so working for different teams. I mean, you really sometimes personality, it's so interesting when you're on different teams of people. It's like, well, this wasn't the team that I was supposed to help kind of situation.
Exactly. So, so that was fine. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I was at a crossroads and I had an opportunity to start my own company.
What year was this?
Business. This was 1997.
97. Okay.
So yeah.
The market was good in 97.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. And
tech boom maybe or something?
Right around 2000. You are right about that. Mm-hmm. The market was good and started the company and slowly just began to build it, add people.
Awesome.
Before you know it, I had a couple of offices, North, South Carolina.
Yeah.
We're doing, mostly first mortgage loan volume. It was great. The name of the company was Gateway Mortgage Group.
Wow.
Here in Columbia.
And so, how long did that last?
It was a great run. It was about a 13-year run.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then 2008 hit with the mortgage crisis and the financial collapse, the tanking of the market.
The bomb. I was wondering if that was going to be one of the future crossroads.
Was a tough one.
That one, probably a lot of faces changed after that time.
It really did. It went from the boom to the bust, and some guys hung on and were able to, stay in it.
Yeah.
Other people really had to make a complete, reinvention of themselves.
Yeah, gosh.
Some guys that were working for me, and I'm really glad they went to work for the banks. It was kind of safe.
Mm.
At this point, I was a full-fledged entrepreneur. I probably wasn't working for anybody else anymore.
at that point, you I guess you reach a point where it's like, man, I'm not really employable anymore.
Like, definitely. Anybody looked at my resume would go, no, I don't think so. This guy, you know, he's been working for himself too long.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to manage this gentleman. Okay, so the bomb, the mortgage industry goes off. And
this is Wright Brennan, the owner of C. Wright Roofing. When it comes to the maintenance of your roof, you want to know that you have an experienced team that knows what they're doing. And with 10 years in the business, we check all the boxes. Leaky roof, storm damage, or just overdue on maintenance, give us a call at 803-828-4181 for a free estimate. Again, that's 803-828-4181. And remember, our commitment is to roof it the right way.
My gosh, here. I'll tell you one thing, though. In your life and journey, these crossroads don't seem to be much of a problem. You seem to be able to steamroll through whatever is coming.
I mean, it sounds a lot easier than it actually was. Pricey. Anybody that's gone through something like that, they know, hey, you know, you really, really took your lumps and you really, it was tough. There were some tough times there. So, but, you know, fortunately, was able to kind of, you know, have opportunities. I thank God for opportunities that came my way, and it changed things, and I was able to jump on something else. I was able to see, hey, this looks like something that's, you know, that people would, that definitely people need. That's what kind of led me into the next phase.
That's the phase I'm familiar with from our networking,
right?
You know, the technical, like the full cycle wireless and some of that birth stuff. So this is when that birthed, correct?
Yeah. So what's interesting was, I really didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to go work with Verizon as a contractor.
Cool.
And I learned there, I basically just learned the business started really kind of looking at what was, what was supporting, what the infrastructure was that sort of provided all the service to all the phones. And, I was kind of gravitating to that because I was kind of in a sales role and that's just, I didn't care for that too much.
Yeah.
So I just, I slowly gravitated to that network side and learned about it. And then I realized that, I think I was sharing with you earlier, I do a lot of ham radio stuff.
Yeah.
And back when I was 17, 16 years old, I got into the radio stuff, had antennas on the house. My parents were like, hey, don't put another antenna on the house, you know? I was talking all over the world. And I was an athlete, but my buddies, all athletes, they come over and they go, man, you're a geek, you know? None of those guys did that kind of stuff. So I did that for a couple of years, and I was kind of fascinated with the transceiver concept that, radios are transceivers. So back in the day, you key a microphone and you talk and then you unkey it. You just transmitted and now you're receiving. So it's a transceiver. Your cell phone or smartphone is a transceiver. People don't know it, but you're not pushing a button to talk, but it's back and forth, uplink, downlink, transmit, receive. Yeah. It's the same thing. And once I realized that technology was the same, it was all radio frequency, I went back to my early, early days when I was a kid, and I was like, I kind of like this. I didn't even know that's how this all worked. I really never thought about it. So, that kind of led me into, the area that I'm in. So,
full cycle wireless.
Yes.
And still doing it to this day.
Yes.
And it's a lot of cabling, correct? I mean, it's...
So, cabling's part of it.
Part of it.
That's what carries the signals, antennas.
Yeah.
We're bringing in most of the signals in off-air, meaning from towers around, whether it's a cell tower, whether it's a land mobile radio tower run by the county for, emergency responders.
Yeah.
It's antennas inside the building.
Okay.
It is cabling going from those antennas on the roof, pointed at towers, going through the building, and then to a distribution system of antennas in the building to basically solve the problem of dead zones, which everybody has experienced in buildings with cell signals or two-way radios.
Okay. So your customer base is a lot of, big organizations like you just mentioned, like a fire department or something to that nature.
Yes. So we deal with fire departments and the fire marshals and the deputy fire marshals. They call them authorities that have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's the terminology. And they're required for enforcing the fire code, which basically went into effect in 2018-ish here in the state of South Carolina, which required that buildings over certain sizes needed to be tested to make sure there were no dead zones beyond a certain limit in a building, so that the guys with public safety, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's fire, EMS, they can go in there, use their radios, their little two-way radios, and not worry about not being heard.
So
that's essentially the infrastructure of what we do and how we.
Any private customers? Any private businesses?
There's private networks out there, but yes, in terms of like commercial customers.
Yeah.
So the customers are typically commercial. Some government.
Yeah.
It's just that the fire marshal, they're enforcing the codes.
Yeah.
For example, we finished back in 2023. We finished the TD Bank campus up in Greenville.
Yeah.
Three buildings, two four-story buildings. One with a basement, another two-story building with a basement, about 450,000 square foot of space that failed the testing. So there's dead zones everywhere for EMS, law enforcement. So we went in, installed a design, had a system designed, or we collaborated on design.
Yeah.
And then we installed and put it in and then commissioned it with the fire marshal coming in at the end going, okay, we're testing our radios to make sure in these areas that didn't have signal, we're testing them right now. Boom. And they had a guy on the parking lot saying, hey, can you hear me, basically. And I mean, it's more a little more complicated than that,
but essentially that's the idea, it
so that's how it works. And we did that was probably our biggest opportunity/ deployment to date.
Have you continued to deploy to different towns around the state?
Well, we have. Yeah, we've done more cellular stuff too. So we'll also do buildings that are suffering from poor coverage in the building. Maybe it's T-Mobile, maybe it's Verizon.
Yeah.
Maybe it's AT&T, or it's all three. So we can bring all one to three all into the building, where they go from maybe no bars, one bar going out in the parking lot talking to four to five bars with some with the 5G, what they call NR now. So
what is that now, the 5G? Has that changed your business model a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of an enhanced fourth generation cellular network. It's not the true 5G that they've talked about. They're still working on that. That's
something cool to come.
It's coming, but it's a lot of network
disruption.
No, not so much disruption, but to build it out, the 5G signals at the frequencies that they want to really run it at, like 32 gigahertz and 28 gigahertz, that's way up the band. Those signals don't travel as far. They can only go like a block, and then you got to have another node to push it.
To get it up the block.
Yeah. So you got to have that, and then they won't penetrate buildings.
So this could be a lot of work that needs to be done, that full cycle. I mean, I'm just thinking ahead. Hey, look, they got a lot of infrastructure to build here, it sounds like.
They do. So just being able to provide those solutions, as they come. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I can tell. I can tell you love your job.
And my son likes it, too. He enjoys it. So
that's right. So you and your son work together.
Yeah, when he's not, at college and playing baseball.
And playing ball.
Yeah, usually when he's got the breaks and he's, it's like, hey, we need another hand over here.
And so what position is he?
He's a right-handed pitcher.
He's a right-handed pitcher. Yeah. Okay. So you didn't scare him away from the game. You actually brought him in and wow, that's some impressive parenting right there.
Yeah, I really didn't think he was going to be the guy that he is when he was a kid. He didn't really care about baseball too much. He just played because dad liked it. He's a giving kid. He's like, that makes dad happy, I'm just going to do it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. Fantastic. So back to biz, where are you getting new customers? Are you looking for new opportunities around?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. Like, for example, I mean, they come from different places. Yeah. They come from one of the things we do with the public safety is we've got a tie into what's called the fire panel in the buildings.
Yeah.
And so we're not allowed to wire our equipment into the fire panel. So we contract with the guys that do that.
Right.
And so those guys call me and say, hey, because they do all the fire stuff, except for they don't do the RF. Radio frequency. They don't do the emergency responder enhanced communication systems. They're more alarm guys, and sprinkler systems, but they're not radio guys. So they call me and say, hey, we got a building that needs to be tested. Here's a customer.
Yeah.
It's a shopping center, or, we got a customer. He's, he's a hospital administrator or just different things. Like, comes from different. I get Verizon will call me, some of the reps, and they'll say, hey, I got a customer. They got really bad cell signal in their building.
Yeah.
Can I connect you? And it kind of works that way.
It's such an interesting business, such a niche, you know, product, and really, I mean, need. You know, if I imagine businesses, if they have dead zones and work ain't happening, they're like,
right,
this has got to get fixed soon to keep productivity up. So that's really cool. What advice would you give to somebody coming into your field?
Oh, wow. You know, kind of depends on where they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys that I've met that have been in for a while, you know, they're older guys, and they got in several years ago, and they just kind of evolved with the technology. Mm. I would say just seek out an opportunity. Not a lot of companies doing it, but right. Find one. You know, just get a place and learn. And if you're truly interested in that type of thing, and there's plenty of opportunity in it.
Yeah.
People don't think about it. They don't think about, you know, what I do as something that's, you know what I mean?
It's like a career trade. It's kind of right. Like a mix in the trade and the IT world a little
bit. They know
bit.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
And they experience the cell problems in buildings. Being that they're not, you know, working for public safety, they may not understand that. But they do understand when they're in a building and they can't use their phone.
Yeah.
And particularly, I mean, it, you know, now it kind of it's moved into the safety realm now.
Right.
The importance of what we do.
Yeah.
For schools.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been relatively late jumping on the bandwagon, but they're finally starting to look at it and address it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I guess more kids have phones too now. So I don't know right. If that's the reasoning or not. Maybe it's more teacher-ish. But.
Yeah, I think, you know, during an event like the active shooters that we've seen,
yeah.
You know, when you hear reports like, hey, I was under the desk and I couldn't make a cell call out and nobody knew what was happening,
yeah.
That's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Or you got law enforcement, they're in the building, but they're in a dead zone and they're trying to talk to the guys over here and say, hey, I see him, but they can't hear him.
Yeah.
And then he uses a cell phone and they still can't hear him. But if he moves 15 feet over here, now they can hear him, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a huge problem, but they're working on it.
Cool. Well, yeah. I'm glad you're on the team that's fixing that problem.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And your company's done amazing work, so you know, kudos to you guys. I want to ask you a little bit about your in 2022, if I'm not mistaken, you ran for a political office.
I did.
And talk to me a little bit about that inspiration.
Well, you know me. I'm not a politician.
You're definitely not a politician. You're a lot of things. Not yet. But
I'm
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not a politician. You know, yeah. I'm a husband. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I'm a coach.
Yeah.
You know, I've coached you know, both baseball and hockey in the Midland area for 25, 30 years. I've trained guys that have gone on to play, you know, Division I baseball as pitchers and that type of thing. But that, you know, that's who I am.
Yeah.
And so I'm an America first guy.
Yeah.
You know, I care about my community. I care about all the things that most of us care about.
Right.
And that's what led me to run for office, because I felt like the fellow that had been there, about 18 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably long enough for somebody.
Yeah. You hear that in politics, you know. Sometimes it's better to get in and get out, and so that some new ideas can come in and stuff like that. Yeah. That's cool. How was that experience? You know, that the putting a campaign together, you know, what was that like?
I mean, yeah, so I kind of jumped in a little bit late just because I finally made the decision to do it.
Right.
It was good. It was you know, it's funny. People will vote for somebody just because they know their name, you know. So
kind of like marketing, like just a product. Oh, that's so-and-so, and I heard about that. So
Yeah. So, it's definitely it's certainly almost like a business within itself. You know, you got to be good at it, and you got to know how to get the word out, and you got to get, you know, people have to, you know, see you, you know. And I knocked on a lot of doors.
You made a great effort. It is impressive, your campaign, and it's an inspiration to other people, you know, to see you get out there, you care, and you wanted to make something happen. So, you know, we appreciate you. You know, what changes do you want to see locally? Is there anything particular local
I think and they've talked about it for a long time, but on the state level, your representatives down in Columbia, and they talk about it. They've been talking about it for years. Most of them have campaigned on it, but there really needs to be term limits.
Term limits.
And it's got to be smart. It's got to make sense because, the way things operate in Columbia, it takes a while to understand the procedures and how they do things. And, that alone probably take you one term just to figure all that out.
So
I'm okay with guys being there for a little bit, I think there needs to be term limits. 6 to 8 years, you're done. Bring somebody else in, like Wright Brennan.
Whoa, time out.
And that's how I feel. Just the changes there, and that's good. New blood's always good. People that care about their communities, and they're representing the people more so than any other interest.
Gosh, that certainly seems reasonable. You got to give somebody enough time to figure out the job and then give them some time to actually do it.
Exactly.
And then, like you said, at some point, it's probably time. Probably time to pass the baton.
That's just my personal, my own honest opinion.
Cool. What do you got cooking for the future? You got any projects coming up? Any radio opportunity? Maybe another run or a new business venture? You don't have to tell me if this is top secret.
We're working on a few opportunities right now. Cool. Can't get specific about them, but potential hospital systems and just some other customers. Ooh. and customers that we've been working with that have a need. New buildings being built, type of thing. So,
okay. Let's say somebody's listening right now and they're like, we got dead zones left and right. How do they get a hold of you?
They can just, whether it's cellular or public safety, they can call the office, 803-343-9392. Or they can email me at paul@fullcyclewireless.com.
Fantastic.
And we'll get the dialogue going and we'll kind of figure out what's going on with them and go see them and see if there's something we can do for them.
You're the man. I appreciate you coming on. What an amazing business. You got a great story, my man. It's an inspiration to watch guys like you.
Well, thanks for having me. Right? Yeah. Appreciate it.
Hey, this is a lot of fun. We'll have to have you back on down the road too. So, don't be a stranger. And like I said, everybody listening, Paul Erickson, give him a call if you got dead zones. So thank you.
Thank you, Wright.
Hey, everyone. Many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.